Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. And we're pleased to bring you recorded excerpts from the life study of Philippians on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Philippians is a book that shows the reality of experiencing Christ. The Apostle Paul presents himself as a living witness of one who experienced Christ in the depths of his being, regardless of his outward circumstance or suffering. Paul had learned the key, not just how to endure hardship, but how to allow every situation to become an opportunity for Christ to be magnified and expressed even in his body. Ron Kangas is with us today for what we believe is a wonderful glimpse into the life of a person who was experiencing being one living with our Lord Jesus Christ. Ron, I'm glad you could be here today.
I'm also glad to be here and see this glimpse along with everybody else and to learn of Paul through his experiential testimony of what Christ was to him and how he magnified Christ by living Christ in his circumstances. And we know from Paul's own testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that God, through his mercy, made Paul a pattern of all those who were to believe. So God made the decision to present Paul as a pattern to us of someone who pursued Christ, who experienced Christ, who enjoyed Christ, and now, as we will see, who magnified Christ by living Christ. And I believe our spirit and attitude should be one of openness and humility and of being willing to be perfected and supplied and enlightened by God through Paul, and allow me to say, also through a faithful slave of God who has learned much from Paul. And so it's a special privilege to be able to participate in a learning way in this subject of fellowship for this broadcast.
Well, this is a marvelous word today from chapter 1 of Philippians. Witness Lee entitled this message, Magnifying Christ by Living Him. And this phrase comes from chapter 1, verse 20. But before we touch it, I'd like to go back a little bit to last Friday's program. In Friday's program, we looked at verse 19, the preceding verse, because these two verses really go together. Let me read them, Ron, and then ask you to touch verse 19 briefly. I think it's a proper foundation for what we're going to see today. It says in Philippians 1, 19 and 20, "For I know that for me this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I will be put to shame, but with all boldness, as always, even now, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death." Your comments, Ron?
Well, verse 19, Paul says, "I know." He didn't say, "I hope," "I think," or even "I believe." He had an assurance based upon revelation and experience that this, surely that must refer to his imprisonment, to his environment with its sufferings. This will turn out to salvation. So this must be a daily, practical, experiential salvation. Paul had this assurance, but it was based upon two matters that are intrinsically one. First, he says, through your supplication. That's the supplication of the saints in the church in Philippi. Paul is here admitting his need for the intercessory prayers of the saints. And here we have the principle of the body. Paul was living in the body of Christ. He expected the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ to reach him in such a way it would turn his situation to salvation. So here's a man experiencing a practical salvation as a member of the body, and in particular through the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is a title of the Spirit, showing first that the Spirit has been processed as typified by the compound ointment in Exodus, and that this Spirit is all-inclusive. The humanity of Jesus with its suffering the effectiveness of his death, Christ's resurrection with its power and authority and fragrance and sweetness, they're all here. With a bountiful supply, a supply so bountiful that it would enable Paul's situation to turn to his salvation. And the issue of this would be that in nothing Paul would be put to shame, that is, be found in himself being defeated, overcome by his environment, not expressing Christ, but that with all boldness, as always, this indicates an habitual living, as always. My experience in prison, I expect, will be the same as it was always. And the always is a matter of Christ being magnified. How about this? Always Christ magnified. Is this our situation? I'm going to admit right at the beginning, this is nowhere my situation yet. So I need to learn of this brother who said, Christ shall be magnified in my body, not just in my spirit, and not merely in my soul, in my body. This is very practical in space and time and in whatever concrete situation we may be in. And he ends by saying, it may be life or it may be death, but whether life or death, as always, through the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which comes to me through the body, I will experience a practical salvation, and Christ will be magnified in my body. And that magnification is, first of all, for the glory of God. Then it's for the shame of the enemy. And finally, it's for the blessing and benefit of the believers and even of the unbelievers who may be turned to Christ by seeing such an exhibition of Christ in a prisoner in Rome who lived Christ and magnified him by the Spirit and in the organic body of Christ. Can't we admit that we don't know these things, let alone experience them very much? Can we not be poor in spirit and open ourselves to be edified by the ministry of a particular member of the body who has a particular measure of Christ in experience? Can we not just receive this supply?
I think so, Ron. Let's join Witness Lee.
Now we come to such a good message, magnifying Christ by living him. What is to magnify Christ? Magnify means to make something large in view. This is to magnify, to make something large in view, in your sight. Maya, Christ, he was all extensively great. He was too great, all extensively great. He's greater than the universe, and his measurement is just the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length. All of these dimensions are immeasurable. Christ is so great, but I tell you, in the eyes of all the people in the Caesar's Praetorium, Christ was so little. Even Christ was not there in their view. Christ was not there in their sight. By that time, the Caesar was Nero. He did have a royal guard, which is called Praetorium. They probably just heard the little name, little Jesus. Oh, Christ was so small in their eyes. But Paul was there, magnified Christ. He made Christ so great in the eyes of all the Praetorium. And eventually what? Eventually, some of them turned to Christ. This is why Paul's epistle says, those of Caesar's family, household, greater the saints. Hallelujah. So, the magnifying of Christ, some among Caesar's household got saved. Christ was magnified there. He was wonderful. He was great. But in their eyes, he was nothing. Now one came into their prison in the body of this one. Jesus Christ was made great. He was magnified. How about this? How about this? Today, according to principle, it is exactly the same. In some of the schools, Christ is viewed as a small thing. In many places, in many schools, in many societies, the Lord Jesus is so small in their view. But you are there. You should be there, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, to make Christ magnified in your body. Just to preach, just to tell them something, of course, this is needed. But it is not adequate. You must have a living. Of course, today, in all the schools, especially in elementary, high school, junior high, and so forth, you know, according to the law, teachers are not allowed to talk about religion. But, dear saints who are school teachers, you can be a teacher in the school to have Christ magnified in you, to make Christ enlarged in the view, in the sight of your students, even in the sight of the school faculty.
Ron, I really enjoyed the scope of this portion. We began with this incredible view of Paul in his situation and how his living, even in bonds, had such an effect on the household members that were serving Caesar. But then he brought this very much into the realm in which we live. Let's take this example that he gave us here of a teacher in a public school. I know you have teaching in your background, in your resume, so you probably could relate to this. A person may be in a situation where they're outwardly prohibited to say anything specific about Christ or about the gospel, yet how could this become the setting where Christ could be so magnified?
This is a very good line of fellowship to pursue in a brief way. God is sovereign over our environment. And if we acknowledge God's absolute sovereignty, we will more and more accept the limitations that he imposes on us through the environment. So Paul couldn't have the attitude of disregard, of disrespect for his Roman captors, an attitude of, I don't care who you are or what you think. I'm just going to do this and that. I know of a situation, and this is kind of a generic illustration, of an employee in a certain company that he insisted on reading his Bible during work time and speaking about, I would say, religious things during work time. And he was asked by his superiors not to do this during working hours. He should be investing his time, using his time for his job. And he refused persistently, thinking that he must obey God rather than men, etc. Actually, that kind of living is an expression of the self, the refusal to accept the limitation. My, how different. And now you asked about teaching. You recognize the law does not allow you to use the classroom as a platform to preach the gospel. You need to talk about the things that are in the curriculum and that are according to the principles of the educational system. But if we would learn of Paul to accept the limitation and not break it, yet we are one spirit with the Lord. We deny ourselves. We enjoy the grace with our spirit. We touch the Lord within our spirit. We are one spirit and one person with him. And we just live him. We let him teach in us. We let him work in us. And we face all the situations by the Christ who lives in us. There will be an expression of Christ. And I assure you, both from the word and from experience, although experience is limited, if you live this way day by day, Some ones will notice. And then there will be a proper time, maybe after school, it may be during a coffee break, where you can explicitly share something of Christ based upon the magnification of Christ through your living under limitation. Most of us in our jobs and other situations, you know, we can't have a megaphone proclaiming the good news. Although it's noble that we want to do that, it isn't normal. What's normal is with Paul, being in the environment that God arranged, but magnifying Christ by living Christ in all situations. This is what we need to learn and apply by the Spirit.
By the Spirit. This next section is going to begin, Ron, with a reference back to the verse that we looked at on Friday, talked a little bit about at the beginning, the bountiful supply of the Spirit, how key that is. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
If you would let the bountiful Spirit work in you, you will go back to your work with these burdens. Lord, it's all bonus. As always, even now, in my body, whether through death or through death, Lord, you shall be magnified. What is this? This is to live Christ. To magnify Christ in such a way is to declare, to show to people the greatness of Christ, even to show people the unlimitedness of Christ. Why? Paul was suffering here. Paul was suffering here. He was chained there. But day after day, he was not exhausted. He was happy. He was shining. He was, I do believe, quite expressing something. What is this? This is the decoration. This is to show the unlimited greatness of Christ. To show that Christ is altogether inexhaustible. The inexhaustibleness is the unlimited greatness of Jesus. He, as our love, is inexhaustible. He, as our patience, is unlimited. Our natural patience is limited. You can be patient just to that extent. I do believe the jailers mistreated the Apostle Paul quite much. But he was happy. The first day he was happy, the second day he was happy, the last day he was still happy. He was happy. He was happy. In his happiness, the greatness, the unlimited greatness of Christ's unlimited patience was declared, was shown. So Christ was magnified in Paul's physical body. I don't believe Paul had ever offended any jailers. He didn't offend anyone. Rather, he was a living witness that how Christ is living, how Christ is able, how Christ is powerful, how Christ is unlimited. Christ is unlimited. His patience is unlimited. His love is unlimited. His wisdom is unlimited. The jailers, maybe all the other prisoners, saw there was something. This man was peculiar. This man was strange. This man has something all of us don't have. Christ was magnified there. There's no scarcity in whatever Christ was with Paul. No scarcity. So the greatness of Christ was altogether expressed, and expressed in an enlarged way. Amen. This is to magnify Christ. All bone, as always, even now, in my body, whether through life or through death, marvelous.
Well, this surely is marvelous. Ron, there's a lot about, I think, what we just heard that in a sense is mysterious. It may seem quite easy to understand, but there's so much here. Paul was the one that was in prison here. Paul was the one that was suffering. Yet in his living in the confines of this Roman jail and in the eyes of these jailers who likely were abusing and mistreating him, his living became a witness not of his tolerance and his patience and his forgiveness, but rather of how powerful, how unlimited, how patient, how loving and wise that Christ is. How is Paul's living in such a situation a magnification of Christ and not himself?
Using a modern illustration, Paul would not have been awarded by the world the Nobel Prize for Peace. He would not have been singled out for being, oh, what a wonderful person you are, how patient, how enduring, how tolerant you are, how loving you are, how courageous you are. That would have been a shame to Paul. That would have been an indicator that Paul is this extraordinary, ethical, quote, spiritual person, able to suffer bravely the deprivation of the prison. Then everyone around him would get the impression of Paul, merely Paul. But Paul did not live his own life, his own patience, his own tolerance, his own endurance, his own love. For Paul, all of those virtues were Christ himself. So when Paul was patient, seemingly it's Paul being a patient person. How ethical. Actually, it is Christ as patience, and I would add unlimited patience, being expressed through a human being living an outwardly patient life. But the impression you get is not of the person in himself. Those that are unsaved, they don't know what to call it, but they sense there's something mysterious, something unusual here, something particular here. That is Christ being magnified and expressed in particular virtues. There is a great light here that preachers, allow me to say, in particular need to see. Preachers encourage people to love, to be humble, to be patient. All of this is 100% wrong according to God's economy, unless you, by your own understanding and by experience, can encourage the people in this way. You should not try to be patient in yourself, to love in yourself. Deny yourself and your pitiful efforts to be patient. Be one with the Lord and let him live. And if there's a need for patience, there will be an inexhaustible supply of patience or endurance or love, whatever it is. It comes down to this, Chris. What will we express? What will we manifest? Ourselves or Christ? A patient self is still a self. An enduring self is still a self that is immeasurably different from Christ as patience, Christ as endurance, lived out by a human vessel filled with him and one with him.
Well, Ron, I believe we have run out of time today before we have run out of burden, and I think before the Lord has run out of burden on this subject. So if I could prevail upon you, I'd like to come back and pick this up again tomorrow. I think there's more here.
I feel good to do that and welcome the opportunity to extend our fellowship.
We would really heartily recommend this life study message to all that have been touched by the Lord, that have an aspiration for this kind of experience of living to magnify Christ. Our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or you can send email to us to radio@lsm.org. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Throughout the centuries, the Lord has recovered many truths concerning his purpose and plan for humanity. the Recovery Version of the New Testament by Living Stream Ministry presents these crucial truths in a format that is easy to understand and study. This faithful translation of the original Greek text includes outlines of each book of the New Testament, over 9,000 footnotes, more than 13,000 cross-references, charts of important truths, and color maps. The New Testament Recovery Version from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere. Or you can order by calling 1-888-543-3788. That's 1-888-543-3788.